Oh, hello and welcome back to Shannon's Corner. I am Shannon Deborah Sanford with a little bit of a hoarse voice here today on your favorite radio station, WTBQ. And don't forget, we are now 93.5 FM as well as our very faithful 1110 AM. And I hope you are doing great today. It is a gorgeous day here in the Northeast. So if you're around here, just settle in and listen to us and don't go anywhere because, you know, I got a real treat for you today. We are going to talk about romance novels. Now, if you go, oh, I don't know, I don't read those. You know what? We're going to talk about. First, we're going to talk about some wonderful books, and we're also going to talk about why it might be very good for you, male and female, to read some good romance novels. My guest today is author Cheryl Woods, and she is some author. She has written more than 100 books and sold more than millions and millions and millions. I can't even imagine how many millions she has sold of these books because they are wonderful. She really does a great job. And, you know, they're not just, I mean, they're great for the beach. I was going to say they're not just for the beach, but they're great for the beach, but they're great for a lot of things, and they're really, really good. That's why she's so successful. I want to welcome Cheryl Woods to Shannon's Corner. How are you today?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you so much for joining us, and excuse my voice. It is pretty, we've all had colds around here, but a good time when you have a cold to sit down and read one of your delightful books, a good excuse, being sick, laying in bed, reading one of your books.
Yeah, there's nothing better than reading a book when you're
It's true.
Kind of hunker down and get under the covers. It's great.
It's true because you write books that are really friends of ours, aren't they? I mean, you write books for everyone. And I said that everyone should read a romance novel. And I read an article that you wrote in, I think, the Huffington Post, why women should read more romance novels. And why should we read more romance novels? Aren't we just kind of setting ourselves up for this perfect guy to come along that never happens?
Well, I think that's possible. Mm. I think there certainly are a genre within romance of books that are the truly elaborate fantasy world that women, you know, daydream about, the fabulous hunky Fabio or the cover model, you know, with all the six-pack abs and all that kind of thing. And while that is certainly feeds into a lot of women's fantasies, the books that I write are about real women and real men living in a real world with real issues, and I think that's what I hear the most from the readers that do read my books, is that they can identify with what's going on. They can relate to the kind of choices that the women are having to make, and they can maybe even anticipate that the kind of guy they'll find in my book is somebody they might really meet, who might work down the block or, you know, live around the corner or something like that. And you know, so I think what I'm trying to do is to give people, women, hope with a sense of reality to it. And, you know, the characters who can go through all sorts of difficult times, but in the end they can thrive. They don't just survive, they thrive because they've faced the problems or the issues that have happened in their lives and they've been able to move on.
Well, and that's true. All of us have issues in our lives and you do this so well. I mean, you do talk about the real person. So it's not this sort of Disney fantasy that, you know, someday my prince will come. It's more like if you read your books, you start looking at the people and possibly the men in your life in a slightly different way and appreciate them and maybe bring romance back in to your life. Because once we start reading about romance, all of a sudden it's like, you know, we kind of start wanting it and thinking about it and lighting a few candles and looking at our spouse or significant other or looking out there for those in a little bit different way. Like, maybe that's all I need is a little bit of spark or, wow, he did this great thing, as opposed to looking at the negative. I think they help us really look at the positive.
Right. Well, one of the things, I mentioned a couple of things in that article for the Huffington Post, that one being that men who do that little special something. I remember a friend of mine one day, and we were chatting away, and as he was talking to me, we were standing, he was actually outside the house, I was inside the house, and we were talking through the window, and as he was talking to me, he noticed something that needed to be done, and he just did it. And I was like, oh my God. I mean, it meant so much to me that I didn't have to go find somebody and nag them to do something. And those kinds of little things, when you put them in the larger picture, you know, can really matter and can be a whole different way to look at what it means to be romantic, so to speak. I mean, you know, that wasn't
right.
Why I did it, and it wasn't, you know, it wasn't that situation. But it was that kind of a of a gesture that really, really meant a lot.
Well,
and then, you know, in terms of why even men should read these, I did get an email, which I mentioned in that post, from a man who had been married 22 years and had 8 children, and said that the books had sparked some romance, some new romance in his life with his wife. And I'm thinking, wow, the fact that he was even looking for ways to spark new romance
is already wonderful.
That had gone that long, you know, right away, there's a guy you want to know.
Yeah, absolutely. Lucky her.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
And so cool that he read one of your books. I mean, we think about these for women, but you're so right. If men read them, all of a sudden it's like, oh, you know, maybe I could do those little things to spark romance. And you also talked about in this post that, you know, what you want at 20 is a lot different than what you want at 40 and 50.
Right.
So,
absolutely.
You know, at 40 and 50, we're looking at the guy who fixes something for us and thinks that's really sexy. I don't think we care about it so much at 20. You
probably,
know,
yeah.
No, I mean,
I don't know. At 20, if they could fix my car, I would probably have still felt the same way.
Okay. Fair enough. But certainly, we see things a lot different then. And you write these books. Now, you have a series of new books coming out about the Castle Sisters?
The Castle Sisters. They're the Ocean Breeze trilogy. They're set on the North Carolina coast in a little fictional town, you know, basically in the Outer Banks area. And these sisters are all, and again, I think things that women can really relate to, they're all at a point in their lives where they're professionally successful, but they haven't achieved much in their personal lives. And they're suddenly trying to figure out how to get that balance and what sacrifices and compromises they might have to make in order to make that happen. And I think so many women of various ages have dealt with that. I just saw an interview with Michelle Obama saying the exact same thing, that, you know, even in her position, you know, trying to balance the things she's wanted to do professionally with managing a family and you know, in a very high-stakes situation. So I think that, you know, even the average woman is able to relate to that kind of thing.
You were a journalist before you were a novelist.
Yes.
How much of that carries over? Do you take some of your stories from the news, and do you look at what's going on, like the woman talking about, in, you know, if you're in Princeton, you should look around for a man? Do things like that come into your novels?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, I'm constantly, I think that's why I have been able to write as many books as I have. The two things that journalism trained me for were to write to deadline, so I'm very good about that kind of thing, and to be, you know, very conscientious about deadlines, because, you know, in the newspaper business, the paper, which is hard to imagine these days, but once the paper was gone, it was gone. And so you had to write to deadline. But then also it taught me to pay attention to people. And every time I meet somebody in the most casual kind of a conversation, something may come up that'll trigger that old curiosity. I mean, I'm still at the stage that if I'm driving along and I see a fire engine going somewhere, I want to see where it's going.
Yeah.
Well, that's a trait that I don't think ever goes away for a journalist, for somebody who's been trained in that field. You always want to know what's happening. And so that then in turn comes into my books. Or so, you know, I'll see a topic that, you know, maybe is on Dr. Phil or on the news or wherever, and I'll think, oh, I bet there's a story I can do, you know, with that kind of thing. I can remember, long, long time ago, I was at a conference and Mary Higgins Clark was speaking, and she was talking about looking at the world around you and then saying, what if? And at that time, I remember there was a story, this is a long time ago, there about baby Jessica who fell in the well. And there was a big rescue operation and so on. And I started thinking about that, and I thought, okay, so what if baby Jessica's mom were a single mom, and the man, the only man who could save her child from that well, was somebody she didn't trust?
That's interesting.
And from there, I wrote a book. You know, I mean, it was just that little tiny thing. And using that old Mary Higgins Clark tip of what if, that, you know, I was able to spin that into a story. And I remember my editor laughing at the time. She says, I wondered when the first little baby Jessica book was going to come in.
And, you know, I mean, but it's, you know, that is so good, because you can take things from the outside and really bring it in your books, and then we can all relate. Did somebody like Mary Higgins Clark inspire you to be a novelist?
Well, I think, you know, if I had to say any one particular, I would say in a way it was my mom. My mom was an avid reader. She read historical romances, you know, way back, Rosemary Rogers and Kathleen Woodowitz and all the big historical romance authors. And when I was little, we read together a lot. She would read to me. And early on, I was not that interested in being a writer. In fact, you know, she would help me do my themes, and she was always much more into it than I was. When I would have to do something for school, and in second grade, I think I even got a thing on a report card saying that, you know, my one unsatisfactory mark was in making up stories. I'd like to go show a few of these books to my teacher.
Really?
Back then. But, you know, so I think in a way it was probably my mom more than another writer per se, who got me into the world of books. And made me, you know, I mean, I'm an avid reader, and I think most real writers were avid readers first.
Yeah, I think that's necessary for sure. I mean, you have been on the New York Times bestsellers list for 113 weeks since 2008. So, I mean, obviously your books are very successful. When you wrote your first one, did you expect that?
No, not at all. As I said, I mean, I did not go, you know, even in journalism, when I originally did it, I was aiming to do graphic design. I wanted to do the layouts for pages. I didn't even intend to be a reporter. And then, you know, slowly but surely I did that. And then when I left the newspaper business and started trying to write books, I thought, well, you know, I'll see how this goes for a little while. And I sold a few, and I had another job at that point, and finally realized, well, you know, I might be able to make a living at this. And so it's been a wonderful serendipity, and I don't know if it can still be a serendipity after 30 years or so, but in a way, that's what it feels like, because every book is a new serendipity for me.
Do you get involved with your characters? Do you think about them? Do you worry about them? Do you wake up and say, oh, no, she should do this? Or do they become such a part of you?
Absolutely, yes. And it's funny, one day a friend of mine called me up and he said, you know, what are you doing? And I said, I'm waiting for my characters to start talking to me. And he started laughing. He says, don't tell that to a mental health professional. But it's true, and it still is. At some point in every book, the characters become real. And so, you know, I'll be driving along someplace or taking a shower or taking a walk, and, you know, I'll start hearing parts of the scene in my head, and, you know, I'll run home and jot down a few notes or something, and I do. That is not what happens necessarily on the first page, but as I'm getting into the more I get into the book, the more real they become. And I did hear from a friend of mine not long ago who was saying that she had introduced my books to some friends of hers at church, and that they were joking about the fact that when the books ended, they were so upset because they couldn't call them to find out how they were doing.
Oh.
And so, I mean, if I can write books that the characters resonate that much with readers, I mean, that's a wonderful gift.
It's really a wonderful gift, yeah. But your characters stay within a series of books, right? I mean, you kind of have them in series.
Right.
Is there any one character that goes through everything?
No. I mean, the types of characters, I mean, the kind of women, probably all the women in my books have a similar sense of humor to what I have. I mean, a little dry, a little nutty, and, you know, that kind of thing, and the kind of dialogue. I mean, I tend to have a very bantery kind of a dialogue with friends of mine and things like that. So there are certain kinds of things that carry through, but as specific characters don't. And so within each series, it's its own little universe.
Do you ever have a character that's a man that's the main character, or is it always a woman that's the main character?
I think just in terms of women's fiction in general, the belief is that you're going to focus on the women. Now, I have done series. I did a series a number of years ago called The Devaneys, and it was about five brothers.
Uh-huh.
And now that idea, that came from a question on Jeopardy.
Uh-huh.
And one of the questions on Jeopardy was, what do a lot of the Disney movies have in common? And that the very successful ones, they were all about orphans.
Uh-huh.
So I wrote a series about five brothers who had been, they weren't really orphaned, but they had been separated. The parents gave them up, and they were separated, and they were sort of finding each other one by one. and coming back together again. And then, of course, I revealed why the parents had let him go and got lots of letters from people who were mad at the parents.
Well, of course. Of course, we got to
take these things very seriously.
I was going to say, they're going to hunt down those parents and find them.
That's right.
Remind them that this is very fictional. But that's the mark of a wonderful writer that you are, is that those fictional characters come to life for us. So they are no longer just strange people in a book or just, you know, words on a page. They come to life.
Well, and I think, I mean, it is. It's very rewarding, although sometimes, you know, you'll get people who will email you, and you're like, it's a story.
You're right.
It's a story. Don't get so worked up about it. I wonder then sometimes, because I love hearing from readers, and I always try to respond to them and everything.
That's nice.
But when they're really worked up about something, you think, okay, what's going on in their life that this hit them in that way?
Uh-huh.
And
well, that's true.
What did they take to heart from this book that you didn't intend necessarily? And the human psyche is a wonderful thing.
Well, that could spawn your next series of novels, too. You know, you get a lot of letters about one particular issue. I'm sure that could, you know, be the thing you write about next. Now, this is the Ocean Breeze trilogy.
Right.
And there are three books. And the first one is coming to Sandcastle Bay, right?
Yeah, it's in stores now. It came out 2 weeks ago. And then Wind Chime Point comes out on April 30th.
Mm-hmm.
And Sea Glass Island on May 28th.
Okay.
So, and each book is about one of the sisters, and they're all in there all the way through the books, as is their grandmother Cora Jane, who's a wonderful character. She's a lot of fun.
All right, so these are the sisters. So this is our summer reading, right? These are the three books that are definitely our summer reading. And of course, if you've never read, which I think that's impossible, everybody's read your books, but if you haven't, you can go back and read all the others. I have your website on shannonscorner.com, so if anyone's in the car and wants to click on that, they can read about you, how you got started. Your first book was what, 1982?
Right, exactly.
Okay, so you've been doing this just a little bit of time, which is why you've perfected it so well.
Yeah. Well, and the checklist on that website is a very handy thing, because if people find a book at a yard sale or something like that and wonder where it fits in, the books on the website, on the checklist, have all been grouped by series, so they can go see where it fits in and then start from there and figure out whether they want to read more.
Okay. Well, lucky us readers that get to read three more books. They are absolutely wonderful. Thank you for writing these books. They are just terrific, and we so enjoy them. And thank you for joining us today.
Thanks, Shannon. It was wonderful.
And thank you so much, Cheryl Woods. Her new books, The Ocean Breeze Trilogy, are out in the bookstores, or at least the first one, Sandcastle Bay, is out in the bookstore. Now, we have to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk with you a little more here on WTBQ. And again, Cheryl Woods, her books are out now, and you can go to shannonscorner.com and click it to the hot link. And we'll be back in just a few on WTBQ.
...10 a.m. on WTBQ.
WTBQ.
Hello and welcome back to Shannon's Corner. I am Shannon Devereaux Sanford, and we have a few minutes left, and our guest today has gone off and I think done some more interviews. Cheryl Woods, she is a wonderful author, by the way. And again, it is on Shannon's Corner. She writes these wonderful books for Harlequin. And I'm saving my copies for summer reading, because that's the kind of thing. Now, Rich, she was talking about men. You know, some men got a hold of her and said, I loved your books and it made me want to keep my relationship better. Would you ever read a Harlequin book? Would you ever read a romance novel?
Yeah, I'd read it.
Yeah. See, because I think it makes you, she was right. Everybody should read them because it makes us more romantic. Now, what do you think? My main question to ask you is, what do you think? Have you heard about the Princeton mom who said that that the girls who are in Princeton now should be looking for husbands while they're there, because the husband pool there is much more... is it much more like them than when they leave there? That there's a lot
of... if you're sending your daughter off to college to look for a husband, isn't that like a little...
You know what? If you dissect this a little bit, and I know this is very un-women's lib of me to say, and even my daughter, who's 17, almost 18, she said the same thing, that why not look around when you're at college, because you do have a lot of the people that are very similar to you. These are men that are educated the same way.
But the idea that you're looking for a husband, shouldn't it just like happen? Shouldn't you meet somebody that makes you feel special and makes you feel loved? It's not like, we have to how much he makes, what kind of family, what kind of background he has.
Well, but if you want somebody with similar interest, I think is what she was saying, and if you want to have children, it's not a bad time to look, because you have people there that have similar interests, similar education, similar thinking about women's lib, and if you want children, maybe you should consider this. I didn't think, I mean, I realize it's gotten a lot of very bad press, and you're probably right. You shouldn't go there looking for a husband, but you shouldn't.
I think it should just happen. When you meet somebody, you know. It's like I use this all the time, but it's such a great analogy. You know, Janis Joplin, you know you've got it when it makes you feel good.
Well, this is
when
true.
You meet that special person, it doesn't matter how old they are, how tall they are, whether they have a lot of money. There's just a chemistry.
You would be really good at writing these romance novels, you
Actually,
know?
I have written. It's under a pseudonym.
A pseudonym, yeah. Right. You would be really good at this. I mean, mm-hmm. You have that romantic streak in you.
Well, thank you.
You do. See, that's the thing. That's how romance novels get to be so good, is that people have this wonderful romantic streak in them. And then we read them, and then we think, oh, I want that. And I think when you want that and you project it out there, you might find it. So finding your husband in school is not such a great thing, you don't think?
Well,
if
you are going to school and you fall in love... Okay. But finding a husband, it's like, you know, it's like Dolly Levi. I'm here. I'm a matchmaker. My job is to look for a husband, look for a wife.
Yeah. But you know, there's a lot of women that woke up in the 40s and, you know, in their 40s and said, oh, geez, I forgot to find a husband, forgot to have a kid. I mean, a lot of women in the baby boom generation kind of went, oops, I got the career, I got everything, and forgot to do everything else. And
well,
it got a little
too
late.
Bad.
So
I mean, either it happened or it didn't happen.
I don't know. Sometimes we have to make things happen if we want them to happen. So I guess there's really depending on what you want is how you do it. But I agree with you that you should not go to school to find a husband. My daughter goes to college next year. She better not be looking just for a husband. But
if she gets that A education.
Yes.
And she says, Mom, this doctor, this lawyer,
right.
He is wonderful.
Right.
I think there's a possibility that this could be the guy. And you're going to go... How much money does he have in the bank?
You think I would?
No,
I would never do that.
No, you would not.
No, I would never do that.
I've worked with you for 7 years. I know that is not going to happen.
No, I would say, does he make you happy? Is he a wonderful guy? Is he really good? And is he good to mama?
Does he make your toes curl?
That's it. Does he make your toes curl? I think that's a fair question. Does he make your toes curl? I like that idea. Well, I think in romance novels, that's the whole point. They make your toes curl. Anyway, we have to wrap it up for today. As I said, Cheryl Wood's books and her website are on shannonscorner.com. Thank you for joining us here today on WTBQ. And until next time, don't forget to make good choices.